Hello and welcome to the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, for the 18th of March, 2022. I'm joined by Leo.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about the media being the enemy, the Sturgeon's witch hunts she decided to go on, and also the Biden administration grooming TikTokers, because they're not the bad guys. Anyway, mention the first things on the website, so the new stuff that's up. So the new thing here being first, being Thomas Dowling's Critical Base Theory number 7, Does Neo-Marxism Really Exist? So go and give that a watch. That one's free as well, so you don't have to subscribe for that one. Go to the next one. We have an article from Simon Webb, that you may know on YouTube as History Debunked, the breathtaking hypocrisy of the British regarding the war in Ukraine, criticizing the fact that no one seemed to care when trench warfare was going on for several years, and we should have cared. Anyway, just go and check that out. That's free as well. If we go to the next one, we can also see the premium hangout we're going to be doing, I believe, at 3:30 p.m. today. So after this, me and Carl are going to do a thing in which he wants to talk about Britishness. What's British? Proper British.
Well, it's changing now.
Mm. Is London British? Or well, is it British?
That's the thing, man, because there's like this mantra of diversity being strength, which, you know, I'm all for diversity and stuff, especially diversity of opinion on the BBC if it ever happens. But, man, when they say diversity is strength, how come in the old days, when Britain wasn't diverse, it conquered the world, suggesting it was strong? And now that it is diverse...
No idea.
It can't even, like, hang on to Scotland.
No. I mean, barely, as well. Without further ado, we will get into the news, though, because I do have a lot to get through on the media stuff, at least. I'm going to enjoy this, because this is at least something coming true that everyone told about. So you may remember the Hunter Biden story.
Oh, I remember this.
Remember this? Remember this conspiracy theory?
Yeah, it was banned.
Material?
Banned as fake news. If you spoke about it on Facebook, it was flagged as fake news. New York Post story was banned. Well, you're probably going to...
go through that, but yes, I'm sure people remember, and we'll go through it in case someone doesn't remember, because here's the story. October 14th, 2020, Hunter Biden story was put out on the New York Post here. Smoking gun emails reveal how Hunter Biden introduced Ukrainian businessman to Vice President's dad, because that being Joe Biden at the time, who would then become the President of the United States. And the thing is, looking back at it, it's so airtight, it's hard to even fathom how this story became verboten, how this was banned. Because we have the information, as they say. Hunter Biden introduced his father, then Vice President Joe Biden, to a top executive at Ukrainian energy firm less than a year before the elder Biden pressured government officials in Ukraine into firing a prosecutor who was investigating said company, according to emails obtained by the Post. Hunter Biden joined Burisma on the 13th of May, 2014, after the regime change in Ukraine, and was then paid $50,000 a month to sit there and do nothing. No, it's to get Biden involved.
It's a good, like, man, I think the most lucrative career you can have is being the son of a successful politician.
Literally have to do nothing at all.
Yeah.
Except look, be like, here's my dad.
I think it was it Diane Abbott who had our son? Because you get to, like, hire staff. So a lot of politicians will just get their wife in as a secretary or whatever. Diane Abbott I think it was Diane Abbott, in case she sues me. Although given that she can't even put her shoes on the right feet, I don't know if she can fill in a solicitor's form. But like, I think it was Diane Abbott who put her son in, and like, well, obviously wasn't doing anything.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Surprise me.
It was just like, you know,
claim that on the taxpayer. Why not? But anyway, a year later, April 17th, 2015, Burisma board advisor. There's an email that they have from a Burisma board advisor saying it was great to meet Joe Biden. Just all of a sudden, we put the son on a payroll for $50,000 a month to do nothing. And then a year later, I'm meeting the vice president, or at least former vice president, and then president later on. Less than 8 months after Pozhonsky thanked Hunter Biden for the introduction to his dad, the then vice president admittedly pressured Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko and Prime Minister Arsen Yatsenyuk into getting rid of Prosecutor General Viktor Shokin by threatening to withhold $1 billion in a loan guarantee during the December 2015 trip he had to Kiev. And remember, this is all on camera. Like, we have all of this.
Yeah.
Shokin said that at the time of his firing in March 2016, he'd made specific plans to investigate Burisma that included interrogations and other crime investigations procedures into all members of the executive board, including Hunter Biden. So, the Post leaked the story because they said, well, he was put on the board, and then within a year, he's meeting Vice President Joe Biden, at least the board is, to try and help their company in Ukraine. Clearly corruption. Clearly just there for that purpose.
Yeah.
And then, well, the attorney general of the company starts investigating Burisma for corruption. And then Joe Biden, in his position, gets that guy removed through diplomatic pressure against the president. There we go. Solid tie. I mean, that's the thing. It's backed up with written statements or video evidence of those statements from Biden and whatnot, and we have the emails. And then this, of course, just got banned. Because if we go to the next one, we can see this also just the evidence first. Because you can see here, this is Joe Biden on camera saying that he got the prosecutor general fired because he didn't want him investigating his son. Like, it was on camera in 2018. Everyone knew. It was publicly available information. Very simple narrative backed up with evidence.
Yeah. I mean, these conspiracies aren't really conspiracies when the people doing them appear on camera saying what they did.
You can't conspire if you do it in public.
Yeah.
Work. But anyway, if we go to the next one, we can also see an interview with Hunter Biden at the time in which he just says, I wouldn't have got the job if I wasn't my dad's son because I have no skills. Great. So the family just admitted, yes, we did get on that board, or at least we got him on that board through utter corruption. Mm. Yes, we then did use Joe Biden's position to have diplomatic pressure put on Ukraine to make sure he wasn't investigated for corruption in Ukraine. Mm. Okay. And then we get this laptop story in which is like, yeah, we have the emails confirming this, but we kind of already know because we got the public statements. So it's not out of the ordinary at all. And if we go to the next one, we have the full verification in the story as well, in which they just say, well, what else was on the laptop? Other material extracted from the computer includes a raunchy 12-minute video that appears to show Hunter Biden, who admitted struggling with addiction problems, smoking crack while engaging in sex acts with an unidentified woman, as well as numerous other sexually explicit images.
Do we have the pictures?
I'm not going to show them.
There's some classic pictures. In fact, Lawrence Fox is playing Hunter Biden in a film that's shortly going to be released. I've seen some of the behind the scene clips and stuff, and it looks hilarious.
He's not method acting, is he?
No. I mean,
get addicted to crack.
Man, I don't think anybody would try and keep up with Hunter Biden.
Yeah,
I smoked crack once. It was nice. Felt nice.
Why?
Oh, somebody offered me some.
And you were like, "That's a good idea."
Yeah.
Sounds like a terrible idea to me.
But yeah, it felt really just nice. I felt elevated. And
do not endorse crack on this
podcast. Oh no, absolutely not. Like, you know, but it didn't feel like it was going to destroy my life. And so far it hasn't. But it destroyed Hunter Biden's life, and there's photographs of him and footage of him. I mean, just the most debauched, you know, way beyond like Keith Richards' level of debauchery, smoking crack pipes with prostitutes, and he filmed so much of it. He filmed himself having sex with prostitutes.
Yeah, like it's on the laptop, and that's the thing. Like, if this stuff isn't out in the public and you find it on this laptop, okay, this probably belongs to Hunter Biden. Who the hell else is going to have this?
Yeah. And now, obviously, a lot of it is out in public. But at the time, a lot of it was quashed by the tech companies.
Because if we go to the next one, we can see exactly that, which is Facebook and Twitter restrict controversial New York Post story on Joe Biden. Ooh, controversial. Probably not true. Probably fake information. It is disinformation. Disinformation by the Russians, maybe. In an unprecedented step against a major news publication, Twitter blocked users from posting links to the Post story or photos from the unconfirmed report.
One of the oldest newspapers in America, I believe.
Mm. But also the photos part. It's like, I've got a photo of Hunter Biden smoking crack.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's not real. How do you know?
Yeah.
You don't. In fact, you probably know that it's real.
Yeah.
But you've just decided to declare it misinformation, and it's gone. I mean, this is because the level of just balls they have.
It's politically inconvenient. And this, when people talk about the election being stolen, people aren't actually talking about, votes, you know, mass falsification of votes or anything like that. People are talking about, you know, the collusion between the Democratic, the left establishment and the tech establishment, which is hugely left-leaning and woke. There's a collusion there to subvert the democratic process by suppressing this information. And what's interesting is, you know, in previous...
People do speak of both, but this one is just so out in the open and verifiable. Yeah.
And maybe they're trying to compensate for the fact that in previous elections, they'd, for example, when Trump ran against Hillary, they had been, you know, Facebook and other social media had been played by Russia and by Steve Bannon and other sort of, you know, not necessarily democratic positive actors who, subverted this. We saw this with Brexit as well, and the Cambridge Analytica scandal, to sort of push the other side, you know, to push the, you know, so to a certain extent, Facebook are responsible for pushing Brexit over the line and pushing Trump over the line. So
I don't buy that.
No, that's there's
just by their campaigning, like we can see where their motives
there's
lie.
There's vast amounts of evidence okay. for that. But that, you know, so maybe they were trying to overcompensate in this instance.
I don't think so. I think they very much have had a firm line of globalism and leftist ideology in regards to their politics. And I'll try and demonstrate that in a minute about why I think that. So, but we'll go on with this for a minute, which is users attempting to share the story were shown a notice saying, "We can't complete this request because this link has been identified as Twitter and our partners as potentially harmful." Harmful to who? Harmful to Joe Biden's campaign. That's who it was harmful to. Facebook, meanwhile, placed restrictions on linking to the article, saying that there were questions about its validity. They couldn't say whether it was true or not, because they had no idea. Oh no, they definitely knew, like the rest of us, that maybe these images are from Hunter Biden's laptop because it's him smoking crack and having sex with prostitutes. Who else is going to have that on their laptop?
Yeah, yeah.
It's blisteringly obvious. Also just backed up with the public statements as listed earlier. If you go to the next one, we can see more of this patheticness. So you can see this is why I say that they're very left-leaning. Facebook and Twitter employees have given $2.7 million to Democrats in 2020 alone, 10 times the amount that they donated to Republicans.
I mean, I'm amazed they donated $270,000 to the Republicans.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought you'd have found anybody in those companies that would even be willing to admit that they were going to vote Republican.
If you could scroll down, John, there might be some graphs here that just shows like the 99%. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Donations, 92% Democrat from Facebook, 99% from Twitter.
That's insane.
Mad. And if we go to the next one, we can see why this is so mad, because of course every other company doesn't do this. Because every other company is interested in winning and not being a political partisan. So if you scroll down on this one, John, this is MarketWatch. It just demonstrates that there's a graph here that shows that every other company just gives like 50-50.
Yeah.
Unless you're Microsoft or Facebook,
and in these,
because you're a political actor.
But are these donations from the company or from employees at the company?
I don't know if this is a combination of the both, but I know the previous one was of employees, so the people who work there. And it's just ridiculous. Like, even so, I mean, look at Facebook there. 91% to Dems.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not interested in working with the government no matter who gets in, as any other capitalistic company would. They're interested in influencing the outcome.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They do not give a toss about, well, that perception. If we go to the next one, we can also see Hunter Biden's story, the censorship, being applauded by The Guardian, because of course. The Hunter Biden story was a test for tech platforms. They barely passed, this author writes.
So here, they're talking about the 2016 misinformation disaster. So
they're saying that is what they believe spurred on the need to then censor the Hunter Biden story.
Yeah, yeah.
That's their argument, that they believe in 2016 it was the Russians, and therefore this time around we need to stop the Russians again because they've released that New York Post story. Like, they didn't. Idiots.
Yeah.
The latest example of how a tiny, unverifiable, almost certainly false story published by Rupert Murdoch's New York Post, the author writes, almost certainly false. The story is almost comical, she writes. It alleges that someone delivered 3 laptops to a computer repair store in Delaware. Yeah, that's impossible. You might remember that Hunter Ukraine business involvement was the subject of a phone call that Trump made to the president of Ukraine to try and get him to announce an investigation of the Bidens, the author writes. This is what triggered Trump's initial impeachment. That doesn't make Trump look bad. Trump's calling up the Ukrainians and saying, yeah, I know you're investigating these guys for corruptions. Can you make it public? That aspect you could say is political,
yeah,
of course. But investigating the Biden family for being corrupt, just don't be corrupt.
Yeah.
Like, just stop being corrupt. Like, you are unbelievably corrupt and it's embarrassing. Platforms could choose to block or purge an item completely, she writes. And then she goes on to argue that they should, and of course they did. Great, that's a liberal democracy. That's a liberal democratic system we live in, where stories that are unpopular to one candidate just get purged and are unable to be shared.
Yeah.
I also love how she says that deleting an item might seem like a major problem for the free flow of information. Might be, but it's not. The original source remains untouched and accessible to most of the world.
Man, that is ridiculous. That's a complete misrepresentation of how platforms work. You know, if it's denied, if you're denied that, and you see this with freedom of speech a lot as well. People are like, oh, but it's a free, you know, you've still got freedom of speech because, you know, you've just been banned from Twitter. You've just been banned from, it's not, you've been denied access to the public square.
But
know,
also, like,
square.
Run that logic to its logical conclusion, which is you're allowed to think the thought, therefore you're a free man.
Yeah.
Not allowed to say it, but you can think it. So you've still got freedom.
Yeah. Or you can go and shout it into a vacuum somewhere.
That's allowed. So we've got free speech. It's like, this is someone clearly just being dishonest.
Yeah.
There is no actual argument there other than, I don't want you to read it because it makes my guy look bad. And if you go to the next guy, next link, we can see some more guys who are upset. So you can see the now press secretary, but at the time, Jen Psaki working for Biden, saying that it's Russian disinformation, dozens of former intel officers say. And if we go to that story itself, we can read that more than 50 former senior intelligence officers have signed a letter outlining their belief that the recent disclosure of emails alleging to belong to Joe Biden's son has all the classic earmarks of a Russian information operation.
What?
Do they back this up with any evidence? Do they buggery? Quote, "We want to emphasize that we do not know if the emails provided to the New York Post by President Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, are genuinely or not that they have any evidence of Russian involvement." So genuinely, they're just saying, we have no idea, but we feel it.
Right.
We feel it in the ether.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Great. So you signed the letter all saying it's Russian disinformation without actually verifying it with any shred of evidence, because it isn't. It's real. If we go to the next one, we can see Biden also saying in the presidential debate that this was all Russian disinformation, again, trying to say that it's all nonsense. Obviously wasn't. If we go to the next one, we can see Project Veritas getting... I had to go to the Sun to get this, because in here, Project Veritas got the leaked audio of CNN execs purposely downplaying the story. So remember, everyone knew that this story was real.
Yeah.
And they just didn't want to report on it.
Yeah.
Because it looked made their guy look bad. According to the leaked footage, three CNN execs spoke at the news conference on the same day as the New York Post article was published. Quote, "Obviously, we're not going with the New York Post story right now on Hunter Biden. We'll just continue to report out this is the very stuff that the president was impeached over, that Senate committees looked at and found nothing wrong with Joe Biden's interactions in Ukraine." That's a direct quote from the executives. "We're not going to run it. Instead, we're just going to ignore it."
Yeah.
"Because it looks bad for our guy."
Yeah, yeah.
And if you go to the next one, we can see I tried to click on a link to try and find that clip, because, of course, they're banned. Project Veritas, the guys who actually do the journalism, end up getting banned, because that's normal. Right. Let's go to the next one, and we can see Jill Biden also saying this was all nonsense, and it goes on and on. If we go to the next link, we can see the fact that apparently 16% of voters said they would have changed their vote if they knew.
Yeah.
They were denied that information by Facebook, by Twitter, by CNN.
Could have swung the vote. I mean, it wasn't such a landslide for Joe Biden.
No, certainly wasn't. And if we go to the next one, we can also see that, yeah, he's still corrupt. They're all still corrupt. Of course they are.
Yeah.
This is the paintings thing. They got five...
This is in a film! This is, like, literally in a film. Is it in a Christopher Nolan film? As a way of, like, transferring money to someone else?
How do you money launder?
Yeah!
I've painted this crappy painting.
Yeah!
Pay me $500,000 for the painting.
Yeah.
Except that actually happened. With Hunter Biden.
Unbelievable.
In the position where he's still being investigated, he's just like, yeah, I'll just carry on being corrupt. Mm. And if we go to the next link, we can see that all of this is now true. All of this is accepted truth. It was all true. All of it. Everyone knew. There was no reason to doubt it.
Yeah.
All they decided is, I doubt it because it makes my guy look bad.
Yeah.
And they used their institutional power at Facebook, Twitter, CNN, all the rest of them, to completely snuff out the story because they didn't like it. It wasn't favorable to their guy. I mean, I'm sorry, but that kind of control over the narrative in a supposedly free country like the United States is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I don't know how on earth Republicans allow this to just keep happening. Because I remember there was a hearing after all this in which, what was it, Senator Cruz and Jim Jordan, all the rest of them, had Dorsey and Zuckerberg and grilled them about this. But then they did nothing. They just said, isn't it horrible that you've done this? And they were like, well, we've done what we've done.
Yeah.
And then everything moved on. They'll do this next time.
Yeah.
Whenever there's a story they don't like, they'll just get snuffed.
Well, now... I think people are very wise to it. And I think, I mean, hopefully by the time the next election rolls around, like rules and regulation, almost like an Ofcom for tech, will have been introduced that'll ensure that tech has to, you know, social media platforms have to meet a certain standard of unbiasedness, and all their decisions have to be open and transparent and according to, you know, rules that are stated. Because at the moment, you know, stuff gets deleted, you don't know why, you don't even know what rules you've broken. I mean, if you look at why Trump was taken off, I mean, he was taken off, the two tweets they quoted were just like the most banal tweets. It was like, have a nice picnic, you know, and, you know, see you tomorrow or something like that. It was because of
January 6th, and it was tweets him saying, go home, don't engage in violence. They were like, well, you're trying to encourage violence, deleted.
Yeah. And it didn't stand up in any way. So, yeah, I mean, tech needs to be transparent, needs to be open. And at the moment, there's far too much power concentrated in the hands of a tiny elite of, you know, very rich, very politicized tech oligarchs.
And if you need a specific example of how horrible that is, this story is it. frankly.
Exactly.
I mean, something that frankly should have switched the election into a landslide, instead was snuffed out by the oligarchs of the United States.
Yeah.
If we go to the next link, we can just see the New York Times report that does confirm this is all true as well. And this is hilarious because the New York Times never wanted to admit this, of course. And this is an article in which they're looking at the fact that Hunter Biden's still being investigated because he didn't pay his taxes. So then the Justice Department investigated him and said, here's your tax bill, pay it. So apparently he then paid the bill after being forced to. They said prosecutors has investigated payments and gifts Mr. Biden and his associates had received from foreign interests as well, including a vehicle paid for using funds from a company associated with a Kazakh oligarch and a diamond from a Chinese energy tycoon. Because remember, it's not just Ukraine, the international corruption with the Biden family. There was a debate in here, apparently, from the Justice Department about whether to charge him with money laundering or not, because about whether they can get it to stick. And in here, they admitted that there was a man, Devin Archer, who served with Hunter on the board of Burisma. Archer since has been sentenced for security fraud. Unrelated, of course. But there are emails between Archer and Hunter, and the same emails are on the laptop. Exactly the same. Therefore confirming that the laptop is 100% true. All of it was true.
Yeah.
Everyone knew it.
Yeah.
But they didn't want to believe it because it went against their narrative.
Yeah.
And if we go to the next one, we can see the New York Post, of course, having a bit of a smug moment. It's like, we told you so. But yeah, it's not really good enough. The fact that this can happen in the United States is unbelievable. Yeah. And if we go to the next one, we're going to see just Trump was also right and have a bit of a smug moment. Let's play this clip.
And you think it's the biggest issue to campaign on?
I think it's this. I think it's one of the biggest scandals I've ever seen. And you don't cover it.
Biggest.
You want to talk about...
Well, because it can't be verified.
You want to talk about insignificant things.
I'm telling you.
Of course it can be verified. Excuse me. They found the laptop. Leslie.
Can't be verified.
What can't be verified?
The laptop.
Why do you say that?
Because
even the family hasn't... The family on the laptop, he's gone into hiding. For 5 days, he's gone into hiding.
He's preparing for your debate.
Oh, it's taken him 5 days to prepare? I doubt it. Okay. All right.
So let's get back to the name.
Transparent. Like, the media opinion at the time, I just don't want to engage with it.
Yep.
Like, we've now got it in black and white. Good to have. At least good to have an admission.
Yeah.
Everyone was lying.
I mean, it worked out for the best, because, you know, Harold Biden stepped up to the plate with this whole Putin invading Ukraine thing.
He's done so well.
Like, and I think, you know, it helps if your son has got a corrupt business stake in a country that's been invaded. I think it helps, focus attention. Whereas I'm not sure what Trump's response would. I'm not sure if Trump's response would have been, you know, the right level to keep us all alive.
We've done this previously, which is he actually previous episode he spoke about this and he said, look, I literally called Putin on the regular and just said, don't do it. If you do it, you're going to regret it. And then the Afghanistan situation happened, and Trump's opinion is because we showed weakness there, then weakness was allowed to.
And we showed weakness in 2014 when, you know, they annexed Crimea
and Obama
took Donbass. And that sort of showed Putin, because I think Putin thought, well, they need my oil, because we're still paying Europe. Europe is still paying $800 million a day to Russia. We're like, oh, we're taking McDonald's out. You know, we're still paying him.
They'll be earning the money.
For his invasion. It's mental.
But anyway, that's the story with the New York Post. Yeah. Completely confirmed. Everyone who believed it was in the right, those who ignored it purposely were in the wrong. And the oligarchs who run the United States need to be put in their place.
Yeah.
Can't be allowed to happen again.
And we need open and transparent. I'm not usually in favor of government regulation. And in this instance, you know, big tech, these social media platforms, they're absolutely, it's not a free market. They're monopolistic, and it's absolutely a situation where it needs regulation, it needs strict rules that are applied, and they're open and transparent, and the decisions they make are open and transparent. So if you're removed, you can see exactly what it is, just like, you know, just like any other crime or any other, you know, an Ofcom decision or something like that. Not that I'm fans of Ofcom, like, they've been down my necks. Apparently I keep saying bad words on the television, like rimming. Didn't even know rimming was a... Apparently not allowed to say rimming.
I was
obviously talking about rubbing the edge of a wine glass to make that nice noise.
Anyway, without further ado.
Anyway, without further ado. So
move on to another asshole.
Looking at Nicola Sturgeon's week. Nicola Sturgeon is the head of the SNP. For anybody who doesn't have an interest in Scotland, I totally understand. But I should give a bit of a background. So the SNP are Scotland's government. They're really useless. They're totally notoriously inept. They screw everything up. But paper over it all with money from Westminster. So they're a devolved government, which means they get all this money from Westminster in London, from the UK government. And, you know, they make all these terrible screw-ups, but just keep, you know, getting money from Westminster to sort of paper over the cracks. If, you know, Westminster was serious about, you know, reforming Scottish politics, they could just audit where the money that they've given them goes, because I think a lot of it is siphoned off and corrupt, probably ends up in Hunter Biden's crack pipe. But this week, the SNP have said, apparently there's... A drugs campaigner has come out and said that drug deaths, which are just insanely high in Scotland, they're like 2.5 times higher than the rest of the UK.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Which is insane. There's a real tradition in Scotland of taking lots of drugs. But also the SNP have come in and they've they've tried to
pass down clan to clan.
The village crack pipe, you know. But nobody in Scotland smokes crack. They can't afford it. It's all scummy drugs like heroin, and not even heroin, like fake heroin, like fentanyl and stuff like that. Ugh, it's all gross. But so the SNP got in, and they actually put up the price of alcohol in Scotland. So there's minimum unit alcohol pricing in Scotland. Now people that used to want to just, you know, because
I thought you were going to say they put up the price of heroin.
No, the price of heroin has come down, and the price is because of fentanyl and all these, you know, cheap Chinese, you know, not that I'm saying China is trying to flood the West with drugs to destabilize our societies, but it's what's happening. And so the minimum unit alcohol pricing means that drugs seem cheaper in comparison, so people are taking more drugs. But anyway, you know, because Scotland's got such insanely high drug deaths, the SNP is looking at ways of making it look better. So they've been recording drug deaths, overdose deaths, as COVID deaths, which is pretty disgusting. Because then also they can say, oh, look, it's Westminster's fault because COVID is Westminster's fault.
Nobody mentioned George Floyd, all right? Nobody. I don't know if you know, but with his corpse, he had COVID as well as the overdose of fentanyl
did
in
he?
His system.
Yeah. But did he really?
Yes, I'm not kidding.
Did he really?
He tested positive. Well, his corpse tested positive for COVID.
Really? I don't know. I'm suspicious.
Google it.
I think you saw that.
Technically, he was a COVID.
I hear so many people be like, I had fentanyl in the system. Yeah, he also had somebody kneeling on his neck for 9 minutes while he was saying he couldn't breathe. I think that's what killed him.
That's not rehearsed.
You know what I mean,
I'm not
expert on breathing, but when you choke somebody for 9 minutes, they say they have trouble breathing. But anyway,
the information in the trial was he also had the pills in his mouth. Like the pills were found in the police car.
Well, they're the size of a golf ball, and he choked on them.
No. The amount of fentanyl in his system was like either 2 or 4 times the amount that would kill a normal man, or at least that's.
Then
the,
just get
the
off
average.
His neck and let him die.
Yeah, that's the argument from the defense.
That's sensible policing.
The defense argument was that his knee was on that part, not on the neck, and therefore he died of an overdose. But let's not rehearse the whole trial. That was just the argument.
Yeah. So the other thing, if we move on to the next tab, another thing that's happening in Scotland is. Sorry, I've got COVID and fentanyl. So Scotland needs proper jobs so that people don't have, you know, people have got something to do other than shoving fentanyl up their ass. And basically, Scotland's big industry used to be shipbuilding. We made loads of ships in Scotland. And, you know, Billy Connolly used to work in the shipyards. And we've got these ferries. So Scotland needs to replace its fleet of ferries. If you scroll up, the SNP ones, these are at launch. If you scroll up so we can see this picture, look at the windows on that. They're painted on.
What?
They're painted on. These aren't real ferries. This is like Potemkin ferries. Like, you know, the Potemkin villages.
The fake North Korean villages with no one living in them.
Yeah.
You guys are building fake ferries.
We're building
no
fake ferries so, like, you know, Sturgeon can have a photo taken and be like, oh, look at the ferries we've built. But no, they don't have any windows. So, I mean, I don't really know how they're going to get where they're going when the driver can't see. So, and, you know, basically there's been all these problems with ferries getting built in Scotland. They've gone way over budget, they've been scrapped and all the rest of it. So now they're getting made in Turkey. Like, the only thing Scotland can actually do is shipbuild, or the thing it used to be able to do, the only industry left in Scotland, apart from moaning at Westminster to give them more money. And they're going to they're being made in Turkey. So there's no jobs for Scottish people there. It's money, you know, going abroad to, you know, it's a slightly nefarious regime. Erdogan is, you know, a dictator. And, you know, that could be jobs, that could be hundreds of millions of pounds worth of jobs for Scottish people, but not under the SNP. Sturgeon knows better, and might not even be legal. But she does lots of virtue signalling and slags off the English. Move on to the next one. So we've got this, if you play it from 20 seconds past.
Before this Parliament right now is a petition demanding a pardon for the more than 4,000 people in Scotland, the vast majority of them women, accused and in many cases convicted and executed for being witches under the Witchcraft Act.
This is a real pressing issue in Scotland right now.
Those who met this fate were not witches, they were people.
Oh, really?
And they were overwhelmingly women. At a time when women were not even allowed to speak as witnesses in a courtroom,
just like now, then.
They were accused and killed because they were poor, different, vulnerable, or in many cases, just because they were women. It was injustice on a colossal scale, driven at least in part by misogyny in its most literal sense, hatred of women. The pardon the petition calls for would require this Parliament to legislate, and in future this Parliament may choose to do so. But in the meantime, the petition also calls for an apology. After all, these accusations and executions were instigated and perpetrated by the state. And so today, on International Women's Day, as First Minister, on behalf of the Scottish Government, I am choosing to acknowledge that egregious historic injustice and extend a formal posthumous apology to all those accused, convicted, vilified or executed under the Witchcraft Act 1563. Now, some will ask why this generation should say sorry for something that happened centuries ago.
Yeah.
Though it might actually be more pertinent to ask why it has taken so long. But for me, there are three reasons. Firstly, acknowledging injustice, no matter how historic, is important. This Parliament has issued, rightly so, formal apologies and pardons for the more recent historic injustices suffered by gay men and by minors. We're currently considering a request for a formal apology to women whose children were forcibly adopted. Reckoning with historic injustice is a vital part of building a better country. So too is recognising and writing into history what has been for too long erased, the experiences and the achievements of women. Second, for some, this is not yet historic. There are parts of our world where even today, women and girls face persecution and sometimes death because they have been accused of witchcraft.
It's common in
Scotland. Thirdly, fundamentally,
while here in
Scotland, the Witchcraft Act may have been consigned to history a long time ago, the deep misogyny that motivated it has not. We live with that still.
Yeah, we live with that still, and it's interesting. She's talking about witches, you know, women being persecuted for, you know, being different, having different opinions and stuff. That's exactly what the SNP and what Sturgeon are doing right now.
But did you notice how she's taking on the language of slavery?
Oh yeah,
she was trying to phrase this as if like witchcraft and the purging of witches in the 1500s or God knows when. Who cares? Yeah. Was the Scottish equivalent of like the historic injustices of slavery that black Americans still suffer because of their lineage, and therefore women who are Scottish somehow suffer still with this oppression down the generations.
I don't know if she's just trying to like curry favour with women after throwing them under the bus on trans issues.
Women, the reason you're not succeeding at swimming anymore is because of the witches.
But and also like historically, a lot of the witches in Scotland, there are way more witches killed in Scotland than in the rest of the UK. So it was the epicentre of witch hunting in the British Isles. Scotland executed at least 15 times as many witches as England relative to its population. King James VI of Scotland became the only European monarch to publish a treatise defending the reality of witchcraft. So he believed that witches in North Berwick had sought to sink his ship upon his return home from marrying Anne of Denmark. And in his trials under this king, there were exceptional levels of torture, and James interrogated some suspects himself, becoming convinced of the satanic conspiracy when a suspect declared unto him the very words which he had exchanged with his new queen on their wedding night.
So then this generational
she had said to him, is that it?
But then this generational trauma has carried with women, Scottish women, throughout the years.
Well, what's
and now we need an apology to correct that wrong.
A lot of witches in Scotland were convicted because... Do you know why they got convicted because for being witches?
Whining too much?
No, that's a good guess, though. That's a good guess.
Not doing as they were told?
Nope. It's because they
Scottish
said...
accent?
It's because they said that they were witches.
What?
So, because it was a lucrative thing. You could sell curses, you could sell spells and all this kind of stuff. You could read people's futures and fortunes.
Oh, so it's like the women who used to have all those crystals and stuff still. They just thought it was cool and were selling it, and then someone came along and went, well, you're a witch.
And it was a witchcrafty time, you know, like, you know, people believed in all the, you know, in all the witchcrafty stuff. So, you know, and these women would be like, oh, I'm a witch, I'll do this curse, I'll put a, you know, I'll do whatever, I'll make somebody fall in love with you if you, you know, cross my palm with silver. And then they do that, and then people would be like, wait a minute, she's a witch. And then the person would be like, oh, wait, I was just, I didn't mean, like...
didn't you know being a witch is haram?
But...
not very Christian of you, like...
But yeah, well, Sturgeon says the deep misogyny has gone. The deep misogyny is not gone. We live with that still. And
see,
indeed,
generational trauma from being oppressed as for being women.
Yeah, well,
still got it.
Yeah, but the misogyny is still here. And Scotland is the SNP are leading on misogyny, so they've got the this Gender Recognition Act, which will if we move on to the next tab, so they. Basically, the SNP and the Greens, they've formed a coalition government, and they want to push through self-identification for transgender people, which means that you know, I, as a woman, can say I'm a woman.
Finally,
and
historic injustices being right.
Then I'm a woman. No medical checks, no living as a woman, and you know, sort of any sort of proof or evidence that I'm really, you know, committed to it.
You're gonna do the Lauren Southern thing of going with a baseball cap, and that's it.
Yeah,
just I'm a woman now.
Yeah, I'm a woman, and I don't know. I mean, as a real woman, I'm worried about what the impact will be of women like me having access to my safe spaces or something. But you know, obviously, there's issues with this. The SNP are just like, oh no, we can just, you know, have self-identification now. The self-ID. So the proposed bill would lower the age people can legally change gender from 18 to 16, and would not require a medical diagnosis of gender dysphoria. And you know, it's actually harmed the SNP's standing with women, because you know, this means there's an erosion of women's rights. So if we move on to the next bit, people are opposed to this sort of declaration based system because it can compromise the safety of women and girls in their safe spaces, such as changing rooms. And prisons. So if we move on to the next one, we can see an example of this. Yep. This is Karen White. So
she is the worst one, but there are many, many examples of this.
If we scroll down, we can see a picture of her without her makeup on. They're lying. Say I'll do it later and then never do it later. No, you don't. Just click. Yeah, see.
You could just hit I'll do it later and it never happens.
So right. That's Karen. That is the...
Call me Karen.
The real woman.
Yep.
Under self-identification.
Described by Karen. The judge as a danger to women, children, and animals.
Which is clearly transphobic. So Karen was sent to a women's prison because she said she was a woman. And obviously, you know, with a sex criminal like the lovely and fragrant Karen here, you know, there's a danger in sending women like this to women's prisons.
You know,
if they're, I mean, maybe not to animals, because there aren't very many animals in prison, but I mean, certainly there's been issues. And we can see in the next one, it's not just prisons. So this is a woman told police she was raped in a single sex, a female only hospital ward. And the police said, there's no way this is possible because it's single sex and there's only women on the ward. And it took them a year to admit that there's a transgender woman on the ward. It is possible.
There are many of these.
And this sort of resistance to admitting the fact, it reminds me of the grooming gangs when they, you know, there was such resistance to even admitting there was an issue. Because
Well, it means you've got the wrong politics then, because you've admitted that this is a problem.
Yeah, this is a protected group, so we don't want to look racist
you no longer
in
have
terms
the
of the grooming
politics.
Gangs, or we don't want to look transphobic in the terms of this transgender. And it's like, but look at this specific issue. You know what I mean? This
yeah,
is
like, if you're a police officer, I don't care if you've got the wrong or correct politics. Reality is what is important.
This is a crime, and you know it's laid out in the law. And here we've got, this is the next tab. If we turn, click the sound on, this is an SNP staff member. This woman here, who ironically is shouting "witch" at a woman. So this is an SNP staff member who's transgender, M2F, so meatloaf to female, and yeah, a delightful and fragrant real woman. Screaming witch at a woman. I mean, isn't this sort of going against the optics of Nicola Sturgeon's approach on witches this week? Yeah, absolutely disgusting. So, I mean, if you're transphobic, I'm not. I think it's wonderful. But, I mean, obviously, you know, I'm a big fan of genuine transgender people who put the effort in, like Blair White, for example. I think, you know, the more Blair Whites we have, the better. The world needs more sort of hot women. So if we get more Blair Whites, do you know what Blair White is?
Yes.
And would you eat her anus?
No.
You definitely would.
No.
She's smoking hot.
I think Alex Jones has claimed her anyway.
Alex Jones is going out with her?
No, not really. But there's pictures of those together because they got together. I think it was for a setup on InfoWars or something. And there's just loads of people being like, yeah, you wouldn't touch his queen. The way they looked at each other at dinner was something.
Yeah. But Blair White is an example of a transgender woman who's really made the effort, really committed to, you know, being a transgender woman. Not just like whacked on some like blue eyeshadow with a shovel and then started screaming witch at women. Sturgeon isn't the only one standing up for defending the right for men to have access to women's spaces. So Emma Watson has virtue signaled, saying, "I'm here for all the witches." And if we move on to the next one, Emma Watson. So she said trans people are who they say they are. So I'm a woman. I mean, I don't know. Do you think I'm a woman? Seriously, do you think I'm a woman? I'm saying right now I'm a woman.
This is going on YouTube. I can't say anything.
Well, you can make your own mind up as to whether you think I'm a woman or I'm saying I'm a woman. According to Emma Watson, that means I'm a woman. Am I a woman? I don't know. I think you should have to put a bit more. I should at least shave.
I think you and Emma can hang out in a girls-only space in the changing room. And that's that would be completely fine, according to Emma.
According to Emma, she'd be fine with me coming in the toilets at the Oscars, the ladies' toilets, and doing a massive dump. But if we skip on, actually, we better skip the next couple of things. That was me having a pop at Emma. I just said, I wonder which Pizza Hut Emma Watson would be working if it wasn't for J.K. Rowling, because she was having a pop at J.K. Rowling. If we move on to the next one, we better skip this one, actually. This is somebody having a go at witches. So, talking of witch hunts, the SNP takes part in modern witch hunts against people. Ironically, people who they classify as trans-exclusionary radical feminists.
So women.
Also known as just, you know, normal women. But yeah, so Marion Miller, so she's a mother of two autistic children, and, you know, she's worried about the impact of all the sort of trans rights activism and this agenda being pushed in schools and, you know, throughout society on her children. She's, you know, she's gender critical. She thinks there's some issues with this. She was accused of transphobia. One of the things she was accused of was tweeting a picture of a suffragette ribbon. I don't know if it's on the next tab. Is that so? If you scroll down, this is her tweet.
It was accused of being a noose, and they censored it.
They've had to pixelate it out.
the piece of what is that ribbon there?
So yeah, suffragettes, when they were campaigning for women to have the right to vote and stuff, they tie these ribbons onto railings and stuff. And so it's obviously a feminist symbol. It's widely known and understood as a feminist symbol. You know, the symbol of suffragettes.
It's a noose for hanging black people.
Somebody complained that it's a noose, so it's a violent hate crime because it's, you know, whatever. Join the dots yourself. And she was arrested by the police. And I'm not joking, I spoke to the Times journalist who covered the story. And I think the Times in Scotland were one of the few papers who were actually, you know, covering it with boots on the ground. But when she was like, you know, taken in for questioning and led out and stuff, and you know, had to give depositions and stuff, they had the biggest, scariest police officers standing. And bear in mind, you know, she's a mother, two kids. She's not a danger, you know, in terms of violence. She's not, you know, she's not a flight risk or anything like that. And she, you know, she was flanked by all these like big, scary police officers. He said it was like something out of, you know, Darth Vader, something out of, you know, some brutal dystopian novel. So yeah, she was arrested. Obviously, hugely traumatic for her and her children, and also her lawyer, Joanna Cherry QC. If we move on to the last tab. This one here. So if we scroll down. So she was previously deposed from the SNP front bench at Westminster. She was a rival
for saying women are women.
She was a rival of Sturgeon's in the Scottish National Party. She was on the front bench at Westminster. And she was knocked off the front bench. Sturgeon used accusations of transphobia to get rid of her. So this is another example of Sturgeon's witch hunt against anybody, any women with the wrong opinions, which is exactly what Sturgeon was saying we shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, that's a great point, though, because in 100-odd years or whatever, we're going to have to issue apologies from the state for what they have done to people for saying that women are women.
Exactly, exactly. And it's absolutely insane. And, you know, Joanna Cherry, you know, she's a lesbian, she's a feminist. You know, I think it's, you know, people should listen to these women.
You're going to be paying reparations to them in 100 years if you don't change your ways, Sturgeon.
Yeah, like, yeah, absolutely. Like, listen to them. They may have some points that you should listen to instead of, you know, using the fact that they've said something that at this moment of time isn't politically correct to get rid of them and smear them and slander them and destroy their lives. It's disgusting. So yeah, that's it for me. The whole, you know, Sturgeon's witchcraft thing is complete virtue signaling. It's a nonsense. It's something that happened hundreds of years ago, and she's just using it, and she's mounting her own witch hunts against anybody who's either a threat to her or just has the wrong opinions.
Ideological heretics.
Yep.
What's this one?
That's Blair White.
Oh, is he? Right. All right, I wonder if you can find the photo of Blair with Alex Jones for when we're finished with the next segment, because it's funny.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'll start the next one. So,
Blair White, it's fit.
Talk about the Biden administration group.
So yeah,
kids.
Blair White, total 100% woman.
The offer's out there, Blair.
No, I'm a happily nearly married man.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
But Blair White, massive respect.
Let's go to the next section. So the Biden administration has decided that it's going to start grooming kids. I'm not kidding. And we can see an example of this in the TikTok influencers that they wish to groom, to then groom the kids who are in the audience. And we'll start this off by saying that paying influencers cash to sprout propaganda of your state, regardless of what it is, was once upon a time some kind of sick, weird thing that totalitarians or authoritarians only did. And I remember this because if we can go to this first one here, this is a video here from Lawai on YouTube. And this is him talking about it in 2020, but you know he's talked about this a lot previously, which is that the Chinese government would pay people to go up on YouTube or TikTok or wherever else and just say the Chinese Communist Party did nothing wrong, never ever, also they're great, and come visit China, it's fantastic, we don't have any racism, as you can see here, facing racism, brought to you by the Communist Party of China, which is engaged in, what, about 7 genocides at this point against ethnic groups? So, yep, no racism there. If you go to the next one, the North Koreans also tried this for a bit. This was with Echo of Truth, as they called it, which is kind of Orwellian. And she's complaining here, the person who ran it for the North Korean state, because they got blocked by YouTube.
Mm.
For no reason, YouTube decided to block them. I was like, interesting. So propaganda paid for by the state to tell people lies is not allowed on YouTube. At least that was the standard, according to Google, in regards to North Korea. Other people, not so much. Because if we go to the next one, of course, the Russians did this as well. I couldn't remember the specific video. I couldn't find it. This is from NFKRZ on YouTube, who I watched quite a bit of. And I remember him talking about this with Putin. In the 2010s, what would happen is the United Russia Party, Putin's party, would pay influencers, here's a bunch of cash, now go and talk about the new park we just renovated and how wonderful the mayor of Moscow is.
Yeah.
And they would do it. And it was cringe. And it was ridiculous. And also creepy. Because why are you trying to groom kids with these weird influencers online? The hell are you doing? And if we continue, of course, this carried on, especially in Russia. So here's another one. Russian influencers and bloggers say they were paid as much as $100,000 to support Putin's bid to extend his term to 2036. Again, normal states. But then we go to the next one here, because now the war happened. Of course, same thing. TikTokers being influenced, or at least being paid directly from the Kremlin, or Beijing, or whoever else. A weird totalitarian tactic, because these backward parts of the world like exchanging money for obvious lies. And the reason they do that is because their own arguments can't stand on merit. They can't convince people that the Communist Party is good without just openly lying by giving people money to lie.
Yeah.
Or that Putin is a wonderful chap.
And it's just advertising. It's, you know, people pay advertisers. Like, if you've got a brand of toothpaste, all the toothpaste is pretty much the same. Apart from Arm & Hammer, it is the best one. You should use it. But no, all toothpaste is pretty much the
podcast
same.
Podcast not sponsored by Arm & Hammer.
But they pay advertisers to make it look better.
But when it comes to politics, not only are you just openly lying, there's more stakes here than just like buying my product.
Yeah.
But then also the fact that they went to influencers, they went to TikTokers, people with children in their audience or extremely young people.
Yeah.
They didn't try to go through journalists or through even their own propaganda state journalist apparatus. They instead decide to try and circumnavigate the entire conversation and get to impressionable, defenseless young people.
Yeah.
So, of course, the Democrats are doing it as well. So here we go. So this is the White House partners with social media influencers to pitch Biden's policies. This is back in 2021. The White House is partnering with social media influencers to pitch the policies, including the American Rescue Plan, pioneering what officials are calling a digital media tour amid the coronavirus pandemic. One thing you notice, I've had a look to see if I could find it. I couldn't find any Republicans doing this. Do you know why? They don't need to. There are plenty of small right-wing podcasters, channels, anything. You go on YouTube, Ben Shapiro, you know, the big one, for example. There are millions and millions of tiny ones as well. And then also lots of other kind of big ones, right? And therefore you don't need to pay people to just talk about your message. You just convince them with your arguments and it disseminates through the system. Mm-hmm. Whereas with Dems, if you ever look it up, how many like major left-wing channels are there which are organic and not just like Vox or CNN? There are many. You've got like the Young Turks and, I don't know, what, Jimmy Dore and then like a few others, right?
Yeah.
You could argue. And that's it.
I like the Young Turks because they deny genocide.
They do.
Which is a good look for leftists.
Well, it's extremely typical. It's left-wing ideology. But there we are. It's extremely centralized. And also, just they can't convince people with their arguments, apparently. So instead, they have to resort to crap like this. The kind of things the CCP or Putin would be up to. Then we go to the next one. We can see some examples of this cringe. And, let's indulge in it, shall we?
Oh, can we watch it?
One sec. Democracy's calling. See you, Daddy. Bye.
Hi, my name is Cooper, and this is a day in my life as a White House intern.
We did a joke. Hey, everyone. Vogue.
Usually, I start off with a big coffee. Sorry, they're like really strict in here.
Hey, Jenny. I booked you a nail appointment, love.
Yeah, I didn't tell you to do that.
It's called initiative.
Hi, White House. This is Cooper. I don't think so. Oh, doesn't matter.
This is actually the entrance to the West Wing. This is so fun, and it's really prestigious.
Hey, POTUS.
Is Olivia Rodrigo still here?
No. We've come a long way in our fight against this virus. We've vaccinated 160 million Americans. Are you getting this all down?
Don't worry, Queen. It's all right here.
Cooper.
Sorry, Miss Jen.
And Jen, don't forget to have fun.
Spirit fingers, mama.
We need to get shots in the arms of every single American.
I'm heading to a haircut.
Comment if you want me to make more of these.
No. But also, does this make you want to vote Biden?
Yeah, wait, that wasn't paid for by the Democrats, was it?
Yeah.
Are they trying to just alienate the people they need to win over?
Yeah.
I would have thought that would have been paid for by the Republicans.
If you ever go and watch any of the other stuff, so the stuff that Putin paid for or whatnot, it's just as cringe. It's not convincing at all.
Right, right.
Because it's crap.
But at
propaganda.
Least Putin's got the advantage of, like, you know, if you're, or China's got the advantage, if you're in Russia or China, you're in a pretty much ring-fenced ecosystem for the internet, especially now. So, like, you know.
You don't have anyone to compete with.
Yeah, you're not up against, like, other messages.
Whereas with.
But that, oh my God, that, like. If I was even like tempted to vote Democrat, which I probably would be. I probably would be in America. I'm a natural Democrat. I'm a liberal, you know, socially liberal, economically liberal kind of guy. And like, that would completely put me off.
It's pure cringe. But also,
and especially this, I mean, can we just like tone down all the rainbow police car nonsense just until Putin goes away?
But also the power dynamics there, because do you think Cooper knows anything?
No, and the whole thing was about how useless and stupid he was. Don't be like, that's not your selling point. It's how useless and stupid you are, your politics.
But also, I genuinely believe he is useless and stupid, and is so useless and stupid, He doesn't understand what's being done here. Or if he does, he's just evil.
Yeah.
Which is that they've seen him and his crappy TikToks and gone, right, we can manipulate this person to get to his audience. They're not interested in him, of course. As soon as he turns tail, they just throw him out the door. But it's just the fact of, we want to manipulate the kids that follow this kind of cringe crap, and therefore get him in, we'll pay him some money, and of course, they made some cringe crap propaganda,
yeah,
as that example there. If we get to the next one, we can see an overview of how this is expanded, because the Dems are not happy with that cringe. They decided to expand their cringe, of course. So this is a story here. And the quote in here, when the White House invited a group of 30 leading TikTok stars, some without backgrounds in journalism.
Well, you mean some TikTok stars don't have backgrounds in journalism?
I'm surprised. So you literally invited a bunch of morons. So you invited a bunch of people who don't know anything in regards to the press section of the world here, and all they do is just make crap TikToks. So that's their qualification. Right, okay. So you invited them around for a modified news briefing on Russia's invasion of Ukraine last week. Again, something TikTokers know an immense amount of knowledge about, not clearly heard about it yesterday and therefore decided to make TikToks about it. The Biden administration pre-screened their questions. Of course they did. They didn't even let them ask their own questions. They pre-screened it. Literally using ignorant young people to indoctrinate other ignorant young people. That is the entire Democratic platform for their PR spin right now. That is what they want to do. Instead of convincing you, instead of making the arguments like the Republicans do, or having all these podcasts they could go to and make the arguments, convince people with the... No. We're just going to literally make propaganda with a bunch of cringe TikTokers. If you go to the next one, we can see a Bloomberg report on this. There's a guy, Marcus D. Paolo, a freelance journalist with 2.5 million followers on TikTok. He said that he made points during the assessment about that Russian troops are not happy with their own invasion and Russia won't win the war. And then if you go to the next one, I believe this is his TikTok account. It's crap. Honestly, I don't know how the hell he has this many followers. Like, it's just painful. I don't know if we can start this from the start, John, just with the audio. I should have clipped it, but it's just, it's so, you know what I'm going to say. It's not going to work, apparently.
Damn. Why?
Oh, well. Don't worry about it then. But it's literally just him in the corner there, just reading what you can see with
your
own eyes.
Click on the little, is this your first time on a computer?
This is a Russian tank trying to dodge Ukrainian anti-tank missiles shot from the ground. The tank appears unsuccessful at dodging those missiles. This is the inside of a bombed-out shopping mall. Russians have been attacking civilians.
And it's just him being like, yes, here's a video, and you could probably deduce what's happening with your own eyes, but let me say it to you. Okay, right. This is not journalism. This is not information. This is just, look at the shiny thing.
And why is he talking like he's a... You know when TikTok puts that robotic voice over the top?
Yeah, he's like he's in a hostage situation or something. I don't get it, but whatever. People want to waste their lives on that. Fine. If you go to the next one, we can see more lies. And this is another individual who was apparently brought off by the Biden administration. And they decided to just spout literal lies because Biden told them. Let's play.
Why is gas so expensive and why is the United States inflation rate at a four-time decade high? I had the opportunity to ask the White House why gas down the street is $7, and here's what they said. The obvious reason, we are getting out of a two-year pandemic. When use goes up, price goes up. But the call is predominantly about Ukraine and Russia, so how does that relate? Russia is one of the top three producers of oil, and it is actually their number one revenue source. Now, with Putin starting this horrific fight between Ukraine and Russia, nobody wants to work with him and do an international trade. So, with people being scared of war and limited resources, prices are bound to go up as well. For the people who can't pay $7 for a gallon of gas, there's an app called Gas Buddy that shows you the cheapest gas near you, as well as a link in my bio to donate to the misplaced refugees of Ukraine.
So, literally just a script, like a written script,
yeah,
she would give at a press conference.
Yeah.
Becky, has been given to this bimbo. I mean, do you think Ellie knows anything, again?
Well, the thing is, I mean, what she's saying is kind of true. I mean, she's left out things like the green policy. No, it's not bollocks.
No, she says that the inflation is caused by Putin.
No, I mean, she says we're coming out of a pandemic where obviously, you know, gas... The thing is, man, there needs to be a sort of concerted join-up. I'm not for command economies, but the market is obviously going to lag behind the response that's required.
Sure, but to say that the inflation was all caused by Putin...
She doesn't know. She says we're coming out of the pandemic. So, you know, there was a lack of demand there, and now we're coming, like, we've got this recovery, and so there's a spike in demand. So, you know, the market's responding slowly
to get
oil.
That's for the gas price. But she also mentioned the inflation, and the inflation aspect is not something that's controlled.
Inflation is linked to recovery from the pandemic as well. So
it is primarily linked to the supply of money.
Yeah, which is printed, huge amounts of money printed during the pandemic, but also, you know, there's the supply squeeze of goods that you can spend money on. But what she's saying, and also like Russia is, I mean, America doesn't get a lot of gas from Russia, but it affects the global markets. But the issues she's not talking about are, so net zero has meant that, you know, oil companies have been trying to be green and they haven't been like investing in getting oil out of the ground, which we desperately need. And also,
this goes back to
and
Biden's
also Biden cancelled the Keystone pipe,
XL
and, you know,
pipeline.
XL pipeline in Canada. Trudeau's cancelled all
on
this
federal land. He didn't allow any more drilling
and fracking and all this sort of stuff has just been stymied and stopped. And that would have been the best thing. America wouldn't be experiencing these problems if it was pumping its own oil.
No, and we can go to the next link here, which is an article explaining exactly this, which is that it's the White House's fault. Like, there are many a thing they can't control, of course, like the global economy, and as things change, these are not entirely within their purview. But there are a lot of things within their purview, which is such as the policies of Joe Biden versus Donald Trump on oil production, and the fact that Joe Biden wants to put all the oil companies out of business because he wants the green future right now, desperately wants to do it. And therefore, any opportunity to change policy, he's on the wrong side of this. He's the guy constantly hiking up the prices.
Yeah.
There's also the fact that they mention here that, well, the idea that the United States gas prices have gone up because of Russia. They only imported 4% of the oil from Russia. So that, no, not good enough. Not a good enough argument.
Mm.
But then the production side is what Biden hinders and could fix. That is the thing he could do and doesn't because of ideology, not because of anything practical. If we go to the next one, there's also the Biden administration who did this little press conference here trying to blame the greedy oil companies.
Oh man, why do they always do this with, you know, with the inflation? They were saying, oh, this is gouging. This is, you know, the company's gouging. It's because you printed $1.7 trillion.
Dummies. So this is, there was a guy in the Discord who sent me this and explained it to me because he works in the gas industry as well. As you can see, you've got WTI crude oil prices, which are updated every single day. So tickety, tickety, tick. You can see it going all over the place. And then the gasoline price at the pump, which is updated every week.
Mm.
So that's the reason. I mean, if they're greedy because they're stealing money from you at the end of that graph, well, then what was happening beforehand?
Yeah.
They were charitable?
And also,
no, it's just a lag.
WTI crude price, I'm pretty sure that's gone up again. This is, they've cherry-picked these figures.
Yeah, of course, because it is also a Biden press conference, so they're going to do what they do. But anyway, if we go to the next one, we can also see the claim that she made about responsibility. So this one here, this is a Defiant L's post in which you have Joe Biden. When somebody is president of the United States, the responsibility is total. President Biden, speaking on the National League of Cities, says inflation in the United States right now is due to COVID-19 and Vladimir Putin and gas prices, not the money that you printed at ridiculous rates. Or even under Donald Trump. He doesn't get away with this either. He also printed a ridiculous amount of money. But who was also doing all the pressuring there, saying we should just give money to people? We should just print money, bro. That's the solution to everything.
Yeah.
None of you spoke against that. The only people who spoke against that were Republicans like Ron Paul, what is it, his son, Rand Paul? I can't remember his name very well, but I know he was speaking against it. All the libertarians would, none of the Dems. If we continue on this, we go to the next one, in which we can see just another example of, well, here's the inflation rate. Here's when Biden's inaugurated. Here's the invasion of Ukraine. Bro, like, this is happening before Ukraine.
Yeah.
You can't just blame this all on Ukraine. You cannot get away from your own failures.
Yeah, yeah. And if this inflation is calculated the same way as in the UK, this vastly undercounts inflation because things that are incredibly inflationary, such as house prices, are emitted from the basket of goods.
We'll go to the next one, because you can see the graph here of just the money that's been printed.
Oof.
So, as you can see, big old graph, because money printer go burr,
yeah,
of course. And again, no one singularly is to blame for this, except that the huge spike in recent years, which has then, of course, caused the inflation, is Biden. And, well, if you wanted to bring that down, stop money printer go burr.
Yeah, exactly. And we're lulled into a false sense of security because we've had so many, we had like 2 decades of what they were called nice decades, non-inflationary, constant expansion. But inflation was kept down because we're getting cheap goods from China and services from globalization, immigration, and, you know, but these are all sort of temporary things. As China gets richer, all of a sudden the goods get more expensive from China. As China's internal market increases and they get a middle class, you know, we're competing against them for buying stuff. And immigration, I mean, it's politicians love immigration because it's like a shot in the arm for the economy. It's like steroids. But then, you know, you've got the first generation of immigrants who are happy to do jobs for less money and do maybe like worse jobs than your indigenous people will be happy to
but
do.
But then they also get old.
But then they get old and they have their own kids. Who have,
aging
you know,
doesn't just affect Europeans.
Yeah. And then you've still, you know, then you've also got the expense and the, you know, the impact of society on, you know, housing and looking after them. So they definitely push up
but anyway,
inflation and housing.
The reason I went through all that is to show that her little script that she's been given there and all the rest of them, because there are 30-odd, as mentioned, that have all been given their little briefing or their money sent through PayPal to just say this. Yeah. I mean, you remember during the vaccines, I got hundreds of TikTokers all were given the same script that they just read out
right.
because Fauci had paid them to do it. This isn't normal. This isn't something a liberal democracy should be engaging in
at all. Yeah.
And also...
It discredits the message. If you know that TikTokers are being paid to do it, you know, completely uninformed patsies. Yeah, why TikTokers?
Why have you gone for kids?
Yeah,
why have you gone for young people with child audiences?
Yeah, yeah. There's no like 45-year-olds with like pickup trucks. Actually, no, that's a lie, man. I've been on TikTok. It is all pure jailbait borderline porn.
Well, there
is. It's probably mostly 45-year-old guys watching.
But there is no way that the Biden administration is going to a 45-year-old who also does TikTok in his spare time from driving the truck. No, they always go for the kids. They always go for the young ones. And if we go to the next one, you can see someone making a summary of this whole situation. It's very good. The US government spent your tax dollars recruiting brain-dead social media influencers on a Chinese spyware app to blame Russia for something the US government did. It's like, did you know all the money was printed by Putin? It wasn't. It was printed by the United States government.
Yeah.
God damn it. If we get to the next one, we can also see some media outlets calling this out. So this is.
I like that Putin actually bought a lot of the money and now can't get it.
So this is Newsweek saying it's propaganda, because it is. It's just exploitation of morons with your position of power, who just spread propaganda on your behalf to uninformed, defenseless children. Great. This is disgusting. I don't think the West should accept this as normal at all. This should be something that should be relegated to China and Russia. If we go to the next one, we can see why this is also important in regards to propaganda. This is a video Carl's made that I'm just going to shill here because I think it's relevant to the topic, which is let's talk about propaganda and why truth is important and why in a liberal democracy we should have a plurality of all propaganda and therefore we can have the debate and find what's true. But anyway, other than that, I think it's really gross that they're grooming TikTokers.
Yeah. And it completely devalues their message.
Anyway, this is Alex Jones and Blair White there. If you want to scroll down there, John, I saw one on the left, the meme there. Yeah, on the left. So, yeah. People making jokes. I don't know what Alex's position is on that. I suppose Dankula asked if he was a man of culture. And Alex Jones just started smiling, so... Without further ado, let's go to the video comments.
20 years, you're not going to be able to go outside because of the climate. So you're going to spend most of your time in a pod, and you're going to live online. Your NFTs are going to be your precious art, and you're going to live in the metaverse in digital real estate. No, but you got to get involved in this, man, I'm telling you.
So there's metaverses? There'll be Facebook metaverse?
Oh, dude, for sure there's a ton of metaverses. I don't know that I can afford this metaverse, but I'm going to start in another metaverse and work hard.
If you got...
Is that Tim Dillon?
I don't know. I'm not actually familiar with that chap. But the idea of the metaverse, I saw that apparently Facebook is hemorrhaging money because of all that.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Nobody wants to live in a metaverse. Also, NFTs are collapsing. If you want some more good news, John Terry's NFT collection has collapsed in price by over 90%.
Good.
So yeah, I'm delighted to hear that because John Terry, I thought John Terry couldn't get any worse. He's like defending Roman Abramovich. You know what I mean?
Go to the next one.
2002, Channel 4 commissioned documentaries looking at the actions of two battleships in 1941. HMS Hood sank in spectacular style, taking with her all but three of her crew, of whom the last alive was able to visit the wreck site before he died. That sinking and the subsequent chase of KMS Bismarck captivated me as a boy. When Tony D talks of his ghost stories, I'm fascinated, but I had a shock of fright when footage from the wreck of the Bismarck had these boots, not strewn on the ocean floor, but laid out according to the body that wore them, hove into view. A body now long since decomposed away.
Man, that's spooky as hell.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to tell you, also, because I know you might enjoy this, I don't know if you know about it, check out the video I Am a Pole, The Legend of Pre-Run, which is a video on Laserpig's channel about... Because everyone focuses, or at least we from the British perspective, focus on the proper sinking of the Bismarck, right? But there's a really funny situation. There's a Polish destroyer that left Poland and joined our navy because of the occupation. And then it decided to go after the Bismarck as well. And at one point, they find it, and all the destroyers are basically to hold back and just notice where the Bismarck's going. And the Polish destroyer goes, nah, that's pussy shit. And just rams, goes straight towards the Bismarck, goes up and down in front of it, shooting it with everything it's got, like air guns. No way it's going to sink the thing.
Yeah.
But it just does it whilst smashing on the radio the message, I am a Pole, I am a Pole, just so the radio operator has to listen to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like, there is some balls on those guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Just went out there just to be like, yeah, screw you.
If anyone can dive as well, like in Sharm el Sheikh in Egypt, you can dive the Thistlegorm, which is a huge supply ship that was sunk in World War II. And so it was dive bombed by Stuka bombers, and they blew a huge hole in it. So when you dive down, it's in about 30, 35 meters of water. When you dive down, you actually go down through the sort of crater made by the bomb, and then you swim through, and it's vast, man. This thing was carrying steam engines, airplanes, all kinds of stuff. Huge ship. You swim around inside it, and there's all the old like the cargo holds are still full of all the trucks and motorbikes and all that kind of stuff. Except it's all now colonized with eels. It's really spooky, and you can go up into.
Do they treat it like a certified graveyard or?
Oh, not at all.
People
no, when I was okay. there, oh my God, like, I mean, Egypt's a bit like the Wild West. Like, one of the other dive boats weighed anchor. Like, you don't need to weigh anchor. You don't need an anchor. There's buoys to tie off on. And the ship dropped its anchor. We're, like, down in this, in the crater. This metal anchor comes flying down, like, not, like, you know, 6 feet away from us. It's mental. Could have totally, you know, killed somebody. So, yeah, it's not treated with any sort of reverence. And people used to steal, you know, whatever they could steal, the, you know, boots and things as mementos.
There are a few shipwrecks near Indonesia that are no longer there. Like, the entire thing has disappeared.
Right.
Because people kept stealing bits, and eventually it's all gone.
Right, yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
All the corpses as well are gone. No one knows
where they are. I dived a good shipwreck in Indonesia, Tulumban. But it was one of the ones that's... Because Indonesia's volcanic. I'm pretty sure the Tulumban was... it's all sort of broken up and stuff because lava came down and pushed it further out to sea. But it's actually, you can snorkel there as well. It's not far below the surface.
Bit off topic from the Bismarck. Yeah. Anyway. Thanks, Alex. Let's go to the next one.
I mean, they look like the agents of the Combine from Half-Life 2.
I mean, we might live in a world where we effectively have the Combine and we effectively have Black Mesa, but at least we do not have the third part of the Unholy Trinity. Aperture Science.
Aperture Science. We do what we must because we can.
Never mind. I spoke too soon. I now need to get a very, very large drink because of that.
Ah, good meme.
Yeah.
I love Paul.
I love Half-Life 2. I don't know why they don't just make Half-Life 2 over and over again with different...
To avoid the three.
Different levels.
Have you played the new one yet, the VR one?
No. Is it good?
I've seen footage of it, so I won't do any spoilers, but it seems good. So
right.
I'd recommend. Let's go to the next one.
Greetings, everybody. The war in Ukraine has brought to light many interesting and radical ideologies, including some from South Africa, from a Mr. Sundowner who was nice enough to give an interview.
What about all the good things war has done for us? Why don't we ever hear speeches about that? Jobs, technology, a common purpose. All we're saying, give war a chance!
Thank you, Sundowner.
I assume that's also a reference to the Mercenaries Without Borders. I don't know if you saw that. So the Wagner Group, you heard of them?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, what the hell? Like, it's the weird individual groups that turn up in situations like this.
Yeah. We have security at GB News, because they're all ex-military. Well, some of them are still military, like reservists and stuff. But yeah, they were telling me about the mercenary. And there's a, what was the Western one that was over in Iraq? But they had to be broken up. Oh, what is their name? Ah, like, it's so, like, it's famous. But they had to be broken up because there's like 250,000 of them. So they could, like, take over a country. They could stage a coup.
Blackwater, or is that?
Blackwater.
There we are.
Blackwater,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
I had murky water because of paint too. But yeah, Blackwater. Yeah, that's the. Have you seen that horrible incident? What was it? City in the north. I'm forgetting the name now. Ah, damn it. But the one where they hung them up. Like,
right.
So the PMCs were driving this convoy, and the locals just ended up killing them all and then putting the corpses on the bridge.
Yeesh.
It's horrific.
Jesus. Yeah.
What's that city called?
Well, people like,
Fallujah. There we are.
I saw the WhatsApp group where the job offers are coming in for Ukraine for you know, I guess you'd say mercenaries or whatever, military contractors to go in. A lot of it's extraction, so getting, you know, people out who've, you know, got enough money to pay, but it's good money. It's like £1,600 a day for some of the extraction jobs. And other jobs, you'd be like driving a truck. And so you get, especially if you've got your own van, you've got military experience. Even if you don't have military experience, and you know, some of those jobs. Well, when he was telling me this, they were seen as kind of safer because they're in the west of the country or they're in Poland. But now that there's shelling in Lviv and you know, places round about there in the west, I don't know if it's as safe.
Go to the next one.
So my prototype was a wee bit too tall to fit through the garage door. Oh well. A while back, I remember V did a video about how some people don't really have an interior monologue in their heads. And some are even incapable of basically imagining objects in their mind's eye. Makes you wonder if some of the silliness going on in the world is because of those sorts of people gaining power. But discrimination based on that sort of thing is a slippery slope indeed.
I don't know, maybe. I mean, those kind of people, I would imagine, usually are the kind of folks who end up just washing dishes for the rest of their life, you would hope. But, I mean, maybe they're in the White House.
Yeah.
Well.
Also, how are you going to get the garage? He's going to have to do the splits.
Just cut the garage down. Like.
Yeah. Better solution.
Go to the next one.
Hey guys, kind of wanted to bring something up about the Harry Potter books since Harry mentioned them the last time. To be more specific, the Order of Phoenix mentioning the reasonable restrictions of underage magic or underage sorcery and how it's used against Harry in his case of self-defense and the infiltration of Dolores Umbridge of the defense against the dark arts, because God forbid kids know how to actually defend themselves against the dark arts, limiting the practical use of the magic because they're becoming a threat for the governing body. Based J.K. Rowling for Second Amendment?
Yes, very much a gun club. Like, have you seen the Harry Potter movies?
No.
Ah, damn. Okay, but at one point, there's a new leader of the school, and she's saying that you can't use magic anymore, so a bunch of the kids just make their own, like, private gun club, because the magic essentially works like a gun, right? You can kill people with it.
Right.
In which they're all teaching themselves self-defense and how to defend themselves against the dark forces, and it's very based.
Mm.
Very much Second Amendment. Go to the next one.
Tony D and Little Joan with another Legend of the Pines, Union Lake in Millville, New Jersey. The locals here report hearing disembodied voices, strange lights, temperature changes. Sometimes the birds go crazy for no reason. And on the boat ramp, mysterious car tracks will appear and disappear with no explanation. I'll be in Millville at Bogart's Books and Cafe at 6 p.m. for a book signing. So if you're in the South Jersey area, stop by, but stay away from the lake.
Oh, that's awesome. And if anyone is in New Jersey or thereabouts, you've got to go. I want to see the video comments you make out of that as well. It'll be good fun. But I hope you're well. Let's go to the next one.
You know, it's been great to learn about the ins and outs of guns and such. However, one unforeseen downside is now I can't enjoy movies anymore because they always use guns incorrectly. I was watching a show tonight and they used... They're doing an army thing, right? Army episode. And they used a G-36. I don't know why they think that the U.S. military uses a G-36 as our standard service rifle. I'm pretty sure that's a German gun.
Yeah, sure. I also noticed with the double-barrel shotgun you've got, sometimes I see in movies they have like three rounds in a double-barrel shotgun. It's just like, how can you make that mistake? Surely?
Yeah, like, my dad's always calling stuff out because he's a gunsmith. In fact, he used to have a gun that's so big it's banned in America. But one of his jobs was like valuing guns for auction, so he knew all the, you know, and the old guns and like Mongolian guns and all this sort of stuff. And so anytime we're watching a cowboy film or, you know, some old, you know, seafaring film, he'd be saying that's the wrong. They didn't have, like, you know, percussion caps until this date or whatever.
Is it really annoying to watch a movie with them, though?
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much.
Fair enough. Let's go to the next one.
Given the Lotus Eater's propensity against anime, I have to assume none of you have played the Persona series. It's a shame because there's some moral questions and debates I tend to have with a few friends regarding two characters from the series, that I'd very much like you all to weigh in on. I'll follow this up next week.
Well, I'm not going to. Let's go to the next one.
You should check out Peter Zeihan. He's a geopolitics guy who gives a coherent idea of what Putin wants. It is not just Putin's a madman. He also successfully predicted that Russia would invade and when they would invade and where they would invade many years ago, because this is something far larger than Russia just getting agitated.
All right, fair enough. I think a lot of people were predicting this war, so I don't know how important he is, but then I'm not familiar. So. Thank you. Let's go to the next one.
Hey, it's your patriarch of dadism again. I want to give a shout-out to the stars of the show today. No, not you two on camera. I mean the real stars. Yeah, you know what I mean. The tech guy in the back actually running the show. I think that's John Wong, right? Mr. Yeah. Wong Think? I love that handle. And there's the correspondence and management. That's Vicky, right? And who else? I really don't know who all's involved besides the ones fancy enough to have their names at the beginning of the show. Tell me, is there anyone else that I wouldn't know about that I should appreciate?
Yeah, we've got the makeup artist. So we spent many hours in makeup before doing this.
There's the lighting production. I mean, there's two guys just holding lights, just standing here.
The catering.
The cameras, they're not on tripods either. There's a guy just holding it. He's got very good arms. Very muscly.
Yeah.
So I think there's...
There's the Democrat Party who pay us.
CCP, can't forget that.
Yep.
Yeah. Mr. Xi Jinping himself.
Yep, good old Xi.
So all the praises in the chat for the CCP. some guy named Pete, I don't know. Let's go to the next one.
So as for the state of the Russian military, it's no surprise that security forces are constantly undermining them, because I think they learned their lesson whenever the Russian military overthrew the NKVD back in the 50s with Zhukov helping to get rid of Beria. So I think they learned us from that. As a side note, though, in a dark humor sense of way, when are you going to cover the Redditors that are learning how dirty and brutal fighting in the East is and having a good dose of reality? I think that'd be pretty fun.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this stuff, I'm surprised people are surprised by what the Russians are doing and the battle tactics when they're not winning, because like we had this in Grozny.
Yeah, this is exactly what they did in Chechnya and Aleppo and like pretty much anywhere they go in.
Yeah,
because they don't like, they obviously had the plan to go in, like they went into Gostomel Airport, landed with all these special forces and stuff, and thought they'd just cut off the head of the snake.
The paratroopers.
The Vidavu. And then they released, they had a scheduled social media post that went out because they forgot to unschedule it, that said, oh, we've won. And it's like, well, no, you haven't. So now they're just bogged down in this grinding warfare that just is leveling cities.
I do love all the memes about the paratroopers, though, because it's been especially funny, as in kind of tragic, but not. The funniest one, I haven't found a source for this yet, but I keep seeing it, and I need someone to confirm. Apparently, they picked up a bunch of paratroopers, were going to drop them in Odessa, but because the Americans run the GPS service, as soon as the war started, the Americans turned it off. So then no one had GPS. So then they dropped the paratroopers.
Amazing.
They didn't drop them in Odessa. They dropped them in the sea. So a bunch of them just froze to death. Just like...
Ah, amazing.
So yeah, the VDV amazing. Are known for like all their tough boy adverts. And they show off all these videos doing press-ups and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in the war, they've had a really bad time.
Yeah,
so.
Man, I really hope that's true. They've lost a lot of top military generals as well. And the first week of the conflict, they lost more men than they lost in the first year of the Afghanistan war, I believe.
All right, let's go to the next one.
Sorry to keep bothering you all. I just want to let you all know that by the time you're watching this tomorrow, I will be on my way to Williamsburg, Virginia. There's going to be a historical reenacting event at the Jamestown Museum in Williamsburg called Military Through the Ages. So there's going to be a timeline where different groups of people will be representing different units from history, from my group representing ancient Greek warfare, all the way up to the Virginia National Guard will be there to represent modern troops. So come check it out. It'll be a lot of fun. If you're in the area, come say hi.
Well, that's awesome. Do go. I look forward. Can you please get a picture of like you standing in historical order as well? I always love stuff like that, so yeah, let us know. Otherwise, let's go to the next one.
I want to say that Carl is absolutely right. If you want to lose weight, it's the sugar. It's the sugar who makes you fat.
Yeah, but it tastes nice.
It's suppose that is an excuse for, yeah. for not. Anyway, we'll get to the written comments on the site. So starting off with, yes, that's Hunter Biden's laptop, and here's why that's a good thing. Jonathan Crow says, man, I wish I was born to a wealthy politician. I could have been a wealthy, obnoxious Hollywood actor by now, drinking the blood of children to stay young. Yeah, but do you really want to? So, Matthew Hammond says, it makes you wonder why, if the legacy media is realizing they backed the wrong horse in Joe Biden and they are going to use these reports and Biden's mental decline to legitimize executing the 25th Amendment to remove Biden from office. I wonder. I don't think they will. I think they'll keep that around for ages. I really am confused about the idea that they think he's going to run next time. Like, I'm sorry. Like, if you were a hardcore Democrat, this has got to be the stupidest thing to suggest. Like, imagine the meetings they have every month at local Democrat headquarters when they meet up to just be like, how's the branch going? How's the campaigning going? They must all just be sat there month after month just going, oh my God, like, what have we done?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We have this loser who's just dragging us down.
Yeah.
And I don't think any of them have any optimism.
I mean, he's sort of been saved by, like, you know, if there's one place where you need somebody with, you know, 40 years of foreign policy experience is, you know, during, I think the Ukraine invasion has sort of, has come at the right time for Biden and for Johnson as well. It saved Johnson from the sort of the rumblings of dissent. Yeah, yeah. But for Biden, it is, you know, I think he's kind of... he's kind of stepped up to the mark, and also you can sort of, you know, looking at it, you're sort of like, man, you know, much as I love Trump on the culture war stuff, I'm not sure I'd want him on the war stuff.
I hugely disagree. Really? I'd much prefer him.
You'd
right
You'd much
now.
Rather have some reality TV star,
yes,
with like
because
no
he was
foreign policy experience,
because he was the most effective foreign policy president we'd ever had.
Disagree.
I completely disagree.
Disagree.
Anyway, but we'll have that debate another time. So Wuhan Wet Market says, I'm with Callum. Hard disagree the Russian bot farms made any difference in 2016's election. I believe John Wheatley here on the website pointed out that the Russians aren't very good at manipulating the West like they are in Eastern Europe. Yeah, this was actually a reference to the Active Measures book club by Mr. Ridd. I can't remember his first name. But there's you remember the Jesus-Satan like arm wrestling meme,
right,
that the New York Times released to show all the Russian bot farms and all this. But the thing was, once you actually got into the data before the election and then count up all the interactions the bot farms ever even got, it's pathetic. Like, it's really pathetic.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of money they spent and they just got, like, a few hundred people looking at it. But maybe some likes. Thomas Ridd.
But that's, you know, it's like tobacco companies say, like, oh, our cigarette advertising doesn't have any impact. It's like, well, why are you spending millions of pounds in it then? I think, you know, anything that's getting loads of money chucked at it must be doing something. Otherwise, they wouldn't chuck money at it.
Well, no, people do waste a lot of money on pointless projects. But like,
especially in politics.
With the social media, we can actually look at the data and the amount of reactions or interactions or even reach they got is all recorded. And it's just sad, frankly. I mean, the Internet Research Agency is kind of a joke. Anyway, I don't know if it's still functioning. Maybe, but it's just whoever's funding it is clearly burning their cash.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if we want to move on because we don't have much time to your section.
Oh, yeah.
I'll skip a bunch of mine there.
So George Happ says that with all the feminists like Emma Watson destroying society, maybe the witch hunters had a point. It's time for the Malleus Maleficarum to get a sequel. Did I pronounce that right? I don't know what it is. But I'm guessing it's something to do with...
I assume it's to do with 40K, but I can't remember. Sorry.
Student of History says, Scotland is the best country in the world, much better than my country. Freewill 2112 says, does Sturgeon follow the Chairman Mao guide to running your country into the ground? Well, yes, Freewill 2112, Sturgeon does follow that guide. And like, honestly, independence would be the worst thing that could ever happen to the SNP, because like within like a fortnight,
be bankrupt.
They'd go from being like, everybody like, oh, we've got independence, to like, what on earth? What on earth has happened to what have you done to our country? Why did you lead us down? Like 66% Scotland's trade is done with the UK.
Do people not understand the SNP are not just independence guys as well? Like, they're weird, like, radical progressives.
Oh, yeah.
Do people not
absolutely
understand that in Scotland?
Like, they described anyone, well, it wasn't the SNP specifically, but it was Patrick Harvey, who's the Scottish Greens, who, you know, they're in a coalition government, described anyone who wants to work in Scottish North Sea oil and gas as a far-right extremist just for wanting a job.
This is what I mean. So, like, do Scottish people understand that? Do they understand that the SNP aren't just for independence?
No.
They've got all kinds of...
No, because, I mean, the dog whistle of, oh, we're anti-English is quite a... It's a simple one to get across. It's, you know, it's like Brexit. You know, when you've got a single issue, it's much easier to get your message across. So, in fact, Farage based his campaign on the SNP, the SNP's playbook. So, Anthony S. says, the witches deserved it. Good job, Scotland. Thanks, Anthony. It's good to get some recognition. So
the Malleus Maleficarum, I see John's brought it up, is apparently the Hammer of Witches. I'm not familiar. So.
Right. That looks like the sort of book in a horror film that people open and the spells in it work.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you want to continue.
H.R. Slave gives a bit of historical context. Says most witches executed were initially arrested for a serious crime, such as murdering their husband or children, etc. Witchcraft was just how the people of the time rationalized such abhorrent acts. The idea that totally innocent women were rounded up and burned alive en masse is a total urban legend. There are actually very few accounts of this happening. It's mostly been perpetuated by fiction and pop culture. So a defense of witch burning witches there. just a final so XYNZZ says, isn't one of the reasons that the SNP wants to leave the UK is to keep the proceeds from the North Sea oil, so that they can pour out the largesse from these receipts to maintain their hold on power. At the same time, they're opposed to fossil fuels. Perhaps the Scots aren't quite up to the ability to self-rule. Man, the Scots have been running the UK. Like, we've had Scottish prime ministers and loads of Scottish politicians for ages. You take that back, the last sentence, but the rest... not quite true, because North Sea Oil...
So they can be trusted to help run the empire, but not Scotland on its own.
Well, the thing is, the best ones aren't running Scotland. They're not sending the best. And they've become a very inward, parochial, inward-looking country. So, you know, Scots used to travel, used to come down to London, and used to, you know, end up running things. Like, I worked in, you know, policing, worked in government, foreign office and stuff. There's loads of Scots all the way through the military as well.
Disproportionately involved in the military.
Yeah, absolutely. And now that's sort of becoming less. So the SNP bribe young people to stay in Scotland. You get all sorts of perks and benefits. Like, for example, university tuition. You get free university tuition if you study in Scotland. Whereas, you know, if you come down to London, broaden your mind, see that English people are pretty much just the same, just different accent. Like, so then people become more racist and xenophobic and nationalistic. The North Sea oil is, it's kind of the glory days of North Sea oil are over. There are some oil fields that could still be developed, but I think it was a couple of years ago, the revenues dipped below £1 billion for the year. So, you know, that's, in terms of government spending, that's, you know, that's a drop in the ocean.
Well, anyway, we're on that note, we're out of time. So,
okay.
S&P independence, no thanks. Or at least, well, if the Scots want to do it, I'm just going to laugh, because it's just...
It's an absolute nonsense, and there's no proper opposition in Scotland. It's all fragmented, and it's, you know...
It's a mess.
It's a mess.
But anyway, if you want more from us, of course, go over to lotusears.com. Please do subscribe, because that's how we pay for the show, and also get access to all the premium content. Where do they find you?
So you can go on my YouTube. Also, I'm recording my comedy special. It's called Cancel Culture. I had, you know, a sellout run at the Edinburgh Fringe. So I'm recording that on Sunday at Top Secret Comedy in Covent Garden. That's at 2 p.m. Darius Davies is also doing his show, which is called Don't Be can't say it on YouTube because we'll get demonetized. It's free entry. The streaming service, which begins with N, can't say it though, is giving free booze and food to the audience as well. So 2 p.m. Sunday at Top Secret. You can apply for free tickets if you go on my Instagram.
Alrighty. Otherwise, we'll be back in an hour to do a premium hangout, but we'll see you then. Thank you and goodbye.
Bye.